Is week number 4 of TH 205. It's about the grace of God, and once again I want to encourage all of you. Yes, you want to do your best, you want to be excellent for the Lord in all the work that you do, but don't get so caught up in how many points did I get, what was my final grade. Oh goodness gracious, I didn't get a 100, or I didn't get a 95 or something. You know, just forget it. Turn my back. You know, walk away from Jesus. What's life worth living? Anything? Blah blah. And some folks have really gotten on a guilt trip because that, you know, the grades maybe haven't been what they've expected. This is all about growing in Jesus. Okay. Now again, I'm not trying to de-emphasize too much the academics because you want to do your best. But remember, this is training time for you in your ministry, whatever your ministry is. This is additional training time. Because I know this, people that have made a commitment to be a part of this school, to be students, you know, it's kind of like what Jesus said, if you're not faithful in the small, then how in the world are you going to be faithful in the large, the big? And this is, you know, a time to prove yourself diligent, not just, you know, for yourself or me or anybody else, but I mean for Jesus, to prove yourself diligent in these things. Because if you're called to preach or teach, you know, what you're doing is going to carry over into that. And if you can't be diligent enough to put together papers or do your tests or, you know, do the reading assignment, then how in the world are you going to be diligent enough for your sermons and the things that God wants you to share with other people? You see what I'm saying? And the diligence thing, you know, that's going to carry over into other areas of your life too. So, you know, we don't want to get so caught up in the academics that we miss God, but then at the same time, we don't want to become so spiritually minded that we miss the part that we're supposed to do to grow and to develop spiritually in what God wants. Tonight, because of the course that we opened this school year with in the second year, the Biblical Prosperity course, I want to play something for you. It is a prophecy that came forth on January the 8th, Wednesday night, January the 8th, in our church. And we're going to record this. It will be on this tape. It is a very powerful, powerful prophecy. And to be very honest with you, this will be the first time that I have heard it completely after it was given. I was the one that came through. But I haven't listened to it in its entirety since that time. Just smidgens of it as we dubbed it over from the mini disc onto the tape. And I just listened to enough of it to make sure that it was coming through and being recorded and so forth. But this is going to be on the tape that you receive tonight. And after you hear this, I want you to... I know at times like this when you play a tape, it can be easy for your mind to drift off. And then, you know, you snap back 20 seconds later. It's like, well, what was that? What was that? Please do your best to listen very intently. Now, none of this is going to be on the exam. But you need to hear this. You need to hear what came forth. In fact, I was talking to... I did not know it, but apparently copies of this are being made and passed around to people. I found out today that copies are being made and passed around out in Tulsa. I didn't know that. So, you need to listen to this. Because since that time, I have been made aware that apparently other prophecies of a very similar nature have come forth within the last, say, 2 or 3 months. Not obviously the same word for word, but the message has been the same. And so I just want you to listen to this, and after you listen to it, I have something that I want to read to you. So let me start this tape, and we'll make sure that it's coming through okay.
For me to judge the sin in the world, but I would like to remind you that judgment begins in my house. And the judgment has begun. Look forward to the days to come and do not be scared or shocked at what you see. Because I am moving in my body to purify it. In the coming days, here is what you will see. Ministers and pastors that you have trusted, that you have thought were stable, that you thought were men and women of faith, that you truly believed were following me with all their heart, I'm going to show you how they have been following me with their flesh and not their heart. You're going to begin to see an uprising within my body. You are going to begin to see name calling. It will be in print. It will be on television. It will be on tape. It will be on video. It will be on radio. It will be in books. You are going to see those who have been walking in the flesh begin to defend their walking in the flesh. They are going to call it faith, and they are going to criticize those who come against that which they are preaching. Preaching a doctrine of flesh. For I say unto you, the arm of flesh cannot save you, but the arm of my anointing. Those who are following after me, they may surprise you. You see, those who are truly following me with all their heart may not always have the worldly blessings that you think they should have, but they are laying up treasures in heaven. The treasures of the souls of the lost and those who have been restored in my body. And I would say unto you, in the days to come, there will be those who are suddenly going to be surprised that the pastors they had trusted will turn out to be not what they had expected, not what they thought, and not what they were trusting. You are going to hear pastors begin to say things from their pulpits, naming the names of other ministers. And they will be saying, do not go to that church. Do not go to that crusade, in spite of the fact that the pastors of those other churches and the ministers in those crusades will be preaching and teaching my gospel, and they will be pointing you toward me. For you see, I am going to expose the operation of the flesh, and it is going to be held up in judgment against the operation of my spirit. And you are going to see things happen that will severely surprise you. You are going to see things happen that will shock you. Be prepared. For even this day, ministries are on the brink of collapse, and they don't even know it. But the judgment has begun. I am not judging them and casting them out of my kingdom. I am judging their works and exposing the fruit that they have produced. They have told you that their fruit is of me. I will show you that it is not. Now, those of you who have financially supported many of these ministries and churches, do not come into condemnation over this. For you see, I will bless my word, but I will judge the fleshly works. Do not come into condemnation and feel as though I am holding you accountable for giving into ministries that I am exposing. However, as I begin exposing these ministries, you had better listen to me and give where I direct you to give. For I say to you this night, I will not fund the ministries who are operating by the flesh. I am going to direct money into the ministries that are serving my heart. And if you continue to give into ministries that are operating by the flesh, once it has been exposed to you, at that time I will hold you accountable for supporting a work that I do not bless. I say again, judgment begins in my house, and the judgment has begun. If ever you have heard and hearkened to a message, I say to you this night, hearken to the voice of my prophets who continually tell you over and over and over and over and over, stay in intimacy with me. Stay in intimacy with my spirit. It is only then that I will be able to stabilize your emotions and help you through the times that are coming and have yet begun. If you will keep your eyes on me, I will be able to take you by the hand and lead you through all of this. But if you put your eyes on man, you are stepping into an arena of great confusion, and it will lead to the destruction of some. You are going to begin to see churches close. You are going to begin to see denominations encounter increased strife within their ranks. The reason for this is because they have exalted their doctrines above my truth, and I have sent my messengers unto them, and they have heard truth, but they have rejected it. And so I say to you this night, do not be surprised when you begin to see churches losing members. Do not be surprised when you begin to see some churches closing down. Do not be surprised when you begin to see some ministries go off the air. For I say unto you, I am not pleased with much that I have seen over these many years. However, there have been many, yea, even a remnant, who have sought my face and stayed in my presence, and their hearts have been hungry for truth. They are receiving from me even this night. And they are receiving from me even during times when they don't think they're receiving from me, because they have opened up the door of their spirit for me to continue to pour my presence into them. So you are going to begin to see ministries rise up, and they will not fit the form that you've been accustomed to. You're going to see churches rise up and begin to grow that will not fit the form that many of you have been accustomed to. And as these churches are rising up, they will be criticized by other pastors. They will be criticized behind closed doors. And yes, they will be criticized in some cases openly. And unless you stay true to me, unless you stay in my presence and train your ear to hear my ear, you will be led astray by those who are operating by the flesh. So I say to you this night, all that you have heard, if you look in my word, you will find these things. For I even gave such warnings through my prophet, through my apostle, Paul. And if you read closely his writings, you will see that what you have heard this night have already been written in my word. These things are happening now. Do not take lightly what I am saying. For you see, before I can begin dealing with the gross sin of the world, I must deal with the fleshly operations in my house. I am purging, but I will never cease to love. And I will never cease to have my arms outstretched to restore those who desire restoration. There will be some ministries who will collapse, who will fall by the wayside, but yet they shall rise up from the ashes, because they will repent, and they will be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and their ministries will be restored and renewed with an anointing and a strength that they have never known. Yes, great things are coming in these days. But I say to you, you can be prepared. You can be prepared. Stay in my presence. Stay in my presence. There you will find consolation. There you will find strength. There you will find peace, and you will find joy. And you will find the overwhelming presence of my mercy, grace, and love. I am God. I am love. And I am demonstrating my love in this judgment. So look unto me and stay in my presence and be prepared. For I remind you, you can do all things through the anointing I release that is your strength, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, there were a couple of other prophecies that came out, and I don't remember the timing. One of them, I think, was before this, and one may have been after. But it dealt with, it was along the same line, how that there is a civil war that's arising and has arisen within the body of Christ. It's happening now. And you can kind of see that here in this prophecy, that there's going to be the confrontation and so forth. Now, you remember what we talked about in our first course, Biblical Prosperity. And we went through that course, and in that course, we took the major teachings that are associated with the popular prosperity message. And we took those teachings and we put them back in the Word of God, and we examined in light of Scripture whether or not those teachings are scriptural. And we discovered that, quite frankly, they are not. And then we took a look in Scripture to find out God's true foundation for prosperity and how we can flow in that prosperity. In fact, we even, Saturday in school, we even dealt with part of that again. It was kind of a review when we went back over 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8, and so forth, and dealt with the fact that grace is a spiritual force, and tapping into grace, we can tap into blessings, prosperity, whatever term that you would prefer to use. But you remember here in this prophecy that you just heard. Now, please keep in mind, this was delivered on January 8th of this year. If you recall, at one point in that, it made reference to the fact that there would be those who would stand up and come against people who are exposing the wrong doctrines, and that there would be name-calling associated and so forth. What I'm about to read to you, the only reason I'm reading this is because it has been mailed to millions of people. It is a public document. And it goes right along with this. One of the other prophecies that I mentioned, it talked about how that truth is going to arise. It wasn't on this one, but it was another one. It goes along the same line. That truth is going to arise. More truth is going to be released. And that it is going to continue to expose the wrong teachings. And that that there would be a civil war in the body of Christ. It was going to become very intense. Okay. Now, with all of that in mind, I want you to listen to this. How many of you see this? You see it? Now, this is public. All right. So I am not slandering. I am not. I'm going to read word for word what's in this. And the only reason, again, that I'm doing this is because it is public. And it's been mailed to millions of people. Okay. Now listen closely. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. I have a word of blessing, a word of admonition, and a word of rebuke to many in the body of Christ today. You had better buckle up, because some are going to love this word and some are going to hate it. But before we are done, hell will be thrown into further disarray, and Satan will be exposed for the filthy liar that he is. Have I gotten your attention? First of all, we do not sing Onward Christian Soldiers like we used to. Much of the church has succumbed to a watered-down, politically correct gospel that makes it little more than a social club. Read our text again. He teaches our hands to war. Hey, Christians, Muslims believed in their faith so strongly they were willing to fly suicide missions into the World Trade Centers. Much of our church was either sitting in air-conditioned buildings on padded pews singing Hold the Fort or dissipating most of their spiritual energy dancing in the aisles. Wow, I told you this was going to be a strong word, so hear me out. Hey, again, if the shoe fits, you know. There is a verse in Onward Christian Soldiers that gives us the answer to our problem if we will hear it. We are not divided. All one body are we. Hope, one in hope and doctrine. One in charity. Is this verse just wishful thinking, or will we finally see it fulfilled? A few years ago, we got a shock treatment from John Avanzini. He opened his message with a word that stunned us. He said, I will show you something more powerful than the Word of God. For a moment, I thought, John has lost it. Maybe I should go yank the mic out of his hand and change the order of the service. But he quickly took us to the words of Jesus himself, who said, you make the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Merciful God! If this was true of Jesus' day, how much more today, with over 400 Christian denominations, most of which have some unique tradition designed to hold their little flock together and to keep them from wandering off to another church or denomination. One example blows my mind. Believe it or not, there are still some churches that teach it is a sin to have a television set. But now, with the advent of computers, it is okay to have a monitor screen. which has access to multitudes of TV stations, plus access to every kind of moral filth known to man. Talk about traditions that make void the Word of God. Christian TV is winning more souls today than any other force in the kingdom of God. But the one that really got my goat, pardon the Missouri in me, was a dear brother on Praise the Lord a few weeks ago. Yes, on our TBN. I was down in Florida, and the program was on tape. If it had been live, I would have called the engineer to take it off. Now, let me just interject here for a moment before we get into this. Tape or live, what's the problem? Call the engineer. Are you with me? Okay. I mean, if you've got backup programming to substitute for a live, then you've got to have backup programming to substitute for the tape. Okay? This dear brother was waxing eloquent on the error of giving to God expecting anything in return. In about 15 minutes, he totally trashed everything Oral Roberts has taught us on seed faith for over 40 years. The great messages by R.W. Schanbach, John Avanzini, Dad Hagen, Benny Hinn, John Hagee, Rod Parsley, T.D. Jakes, and a host of others flushed right down the drain. I will not judge the brother, but the Apostle Paul commands us to judge the message. I sat in stunned silence as truth. Now listen to this. As truth after truth we have rejoiced in and proved to be true was systematically twisted to meet his tradition. I have spoken and written to you many times about the Word of God that came to me as I sought Him on this issue. My question was simple. Dear Lord, can we bring a gift to You with a need in our life, fully expecting You to meet that need? God answered me with a word into my spirit as clearly as I have ever heard it. He said, "Son, did I give my only Son to die on the cross, expecting nothing in return?" Ah, don't you see it? God had a need. He had lost His first son, Adam. He needed sons and daughters. So what did God do? He gave the very thing He needed. His only begotten Son, the best gift heaven could give. What did God receive? Yes, we know, billions of sons and daughters. God lives by His own law. You give if you expect to receive. I hope my dear brother reads this. And I wish I had time here to tell of how Solomon brought God the biggest offering ever in the face of his biggest need. Have the heretic hunters never read the next verse as God appeared to Solomon that very night and said, "Ask me for anything, and I will give it to you"? Have they never read of Abraham who, after giving to Melchizedek in the next verse, asked God, "Now, what will you give me?" God answered him and gave him that son, a few million acres of real estate, and great wealth of animals, silver, and gold. How about King David, who cried to God to heal his nation of an awful plague? He offered the Lord burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the Word records the Lord answered his prayer and the plague was stopped. Dear Father, I could give you story after story from Jephthah, King Hezekiah, Samuel, even Jesus Himself, who said, if you give, you will get, Luke 6:38. And one final thought here. The only one who went away from Jesus in sorrow was the rich young ruler who refused to give what Jesus had asked. So why do the heretic hunters and other critics trash the seed faith message? I'll tell you why. And here is the bottom line for this whole letter. They are either ignorant of the Word or bound by their traditions or, and this is frightening, some are, I believe, of their father, the devil. Strong words, Paul, yes. But here is Satan's most cherished strategy. He knows that if he can keep this great truth on giving and receiving, sowing, reaping, seed faith, and taking the wealth of the world, he has won. Satan does not care if you sing and shout, dance in the aisle, and speak in tongues. He loves dead social club churches most, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But when the body of Christ takes hold of these principles and laws of God that can transfer the wealth of this world into the hands of those who will use it to win the lost and do great damage to His kingdom, look out, Katie bar the door. He is aroused and will come at us with everything He has. He will inspire the heretic hunters to use their traditions to keep us poor, sick, discouraged, and deceived. So, dear Christian soldiers, the mask is off. We see clearly the subtle deceptive tactics of the evil one. Let's keep taking the wealth of the world. Let's keep building TV stations, new networks, more satellites, the internet, and more. How about one last nail in the coffin of the heretic hunters? How many times are you going to call us that? It is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich. By watering others, he waters himself. Praise God. I believe the true God, the true body of Christ is one. God is truly teaching our hands for spiritual warfare. If you will let this little message, this little message to you from my heart will give you one more awesome weapon. Give God a gift, expecting Him to meet that impossible need. Onward, Christian soldiers. What did you just hear on the tape? Less than 30 days later. Here it is. Here it is. Now, if you didn't know better, you think this could be right on. If you didn't know better. Well, obviously, we don't have to say too much about Luke 6:38. We covered that extensively. So you cannot use that in this letter. I'm not disrespecting. What did he say in here? I use his standard, okay? You don't judge the person, you judge the message. So aren't we free to do that then?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, it talks in here about Abraham. You know, have you never read of Abraham who, after giving to Melchizedek, the next verse asked God, "What will you give?" And God answered, gave him a son, a few million acres of real estate, great wealth of animals, silver and gold. No, excuse me. Let's go back and reread the story of Abraham. Abraham had those things before he ever left home. And he left home with those things. And before he ever gave anything, God already promised him that he would have offspring.
That's right.
So right here we have a twisting of Scripture.
That's right.
What was on the prophecy? On that prophecy, we were warned that people who are having wrong doctrine exposed are going to rise up and criticize. And what do we have here? Well, yeah, in writing, which it went along with right. It was in this. It was in the prophecy. And it goes on and talks about how that, you know, David and the problem that was going on there, he asked God, cried out to God to heal his nation of an awful plague, and he offered the Lord burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the word records that he answered his prayer and the plague was stopped. Wait a minute, let's go back and reread the whole thing. What David offered was required by law to cover sin. What was it that brought the plague? Sin. Okay? So you can't say that David did something beyond what God had already required. David simply did what God had said within the structure of the law, and the plague was stayed. Which is exactly what God told him when he said, if you obey the words of the law, these plagues, these sickness, these things won't come on you. You see what I'm saying? Now I could go on this, but I'm not. But what I'm trying to get at is this. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm telling you guys right now what I've shared with you before, time and time since day one in this school. God is going to bring forth and expose stuff with truth. And you guys, if you think this is bad, wait till it starts happening in some of your own churches. That's why I keep warning you over and over again. You've got to be sensitive to God. And you've got to obey Him. And you have got to go in the direction that He tells you. And I am not trying to say anything bad about any of the churches you go to, but if you go to churches where the truth isn't being taught and you don't go to God and find out why He's still keeping you in a church like that, there's something wrong somewhere. Because, again, listen to this, and since it's all on tape, you'll be able to listen to this over and over again. It's on there. And, again, there are some other prophecies that have come out. Now, one of the reasons I wanted you to listen to this was because it's right on the heels of what we heard in that first course. And how we went line upon line, precept upon precept, and in the process of going through that first course, we understood how that a lot of these things are preached and taught wrong when it comes to the prosperity, and right here is a perfect example of that. And I don't have anything personal against this man. I really don't. I don't have anything personal against any of the people he's mentioned in this letter. Nothing personal. We're going to be in heaven together forever. So this isn't a personal issue. But I know this. If Jesus Christ confronted wrong doctrine by the Pharisees, at the time the Pharisees and all the priests were teaching, all they had to go by was the law. That was all they had at that time. But he criticized their twisting of the law to bring the people under subjection. You see what I'm saying? Well, the same thing is happening in the body of Christ. We're taking God's word, like James talks about the perfect law of liberty. We are taking God's word, and I don't mean all of us, but there are many preachers and so forth that are taking God's word, and they're twisting the truth that God has given to us to live by as Christians, and by twisting it, they're putting Christians under subjection and putting them under a type of law. What he talked about here in his letter, traditions. And it's amazing to me how that what's referred to as a tradition, I can't find that as a tradition in any church, any denomination, anywhere. I can't find that as a tradition. Now, it may be out there. I mean, the person, whoever this was that preached this on this program, on this network, maybe they belong to a church and a denomination that teaches these other things. I don't know. It may be there. I just don't know. But what I'm getting at, the tradition is the other stuff. Not this. Not the truth. But if you don't watch out, it's going to sound so good. And if you don't watch out, now just imagine, what if you didn't know better and you got this? What if you didn't know better? What if you had never gone through the course on prosperity that we went through? What if you had never heard these teachings put back in the light of the Word to find out what is and is not true? What kind of an impression would that make on you? If you had seen that program and then received this letter and you didn't know better, would you have a tendency to want to join on the bandwagon of criticism against that preacher and tell people to stay away from that preacher? And tell people, wouldn't you now? You better believe you would. Now, if you want to keep watching this program, this network, that's up to you. That's between you and God. But remember the prophecy? Remember in this prophecy what it said about where you send your money? You better think about it. You better pray about it. And this really, in essence, ties into this message on grace. Because if all grace, if we're never brought to the point of understanding that grace is a spiritual force that comes from God, if all we think in terms of, well, you know, there but great for the grace of God go I. No, excuse me. There but for your right or wrong choices go you. God's grace is there for everybody that wants to tap into it. And maybe, instead of saying there but for the grace of God go I, maybe you should say, there but for the prayers of my mom and my grandma go I. There but for the intercession of my church go I. You know what I'm saying? And so I wanted to share this with you tonight. And I'll just piggyback onto that. This was the first major public salvo of what's coming. You guys better be prayed up. And I'm serious about this. And you've got some hard decisions to make. Because there is coming. I mean, it's happening now. I didn't expect anything this quick. I really didn't. I figured something like this was going to happen later on in the year, maybe on into 2004. But it's now. And because, well, don't be surprised if some of the preachers that you've heard named on here, do not be surprised if you don't see some of their programs where they are, in essence, re-preaching this letter and coming against people that are trying to share for you from the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, what God's really trying to say to us. They may not. I don't know. I'm just saying if it happens, don't be surprised. And I want to encourage you. Like on Saturday, I don't know if I said this on Saturday or Sunday in my church. To be sure, I'll say it again. I am not pointing you to me. I am pointing you to Jesus. I am pointing you to intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I am telling you, spend time with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in fellowship with the Lord, in fellowship with the Father. Because ultimately, He's your final judge. The Word is your final judge. He's the one that is your source. It's not me. I can only give you what I've received. And I stand here and publicly and freely admit, it is possible that I could be wrong. It is possible I could miss it somewhere. I don't claim to be infallible, but I do claim to have access to the infallible one. Just like everyone in this room. Every single one of you. We all have access to the same one. And that's where I'm pointing you. Okay? And I've said this so many times. Don't just take what I say. Go home. Get in the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Let God minister to you about what you hear. Let Him confirm or deny. But the same thing applies to your churches, where you go, what you're hearing in your Sunday school classes, what your pastor is preaching, what the evangelists preach that your pastor has come in. I mean, it just, you know, on and on it goes. Get in there and let God confirm or deny. And like this thing right here. Maybe you received this, I don't know. Or maybe you're going to receive it, I don't know. Do not be critical of the people. Do not be critical of the people. That's dangerous. But the message? Hey, even Paul had some pretty strong things to say about some people that were preaching wrong stuff. I mean, the one time he wrote, he said, I've turned them over to Satan so they'd learn not to blaspheme. That's pretty strong stuff. Turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. That's some heavy stuff. But we don't criticize the people. But if a message is wrong, a message is wrong. And this is public. So, praise God. But I know this. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Excuse me. And God has given to us the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what is right and what is wrong. What is correct and what is not correct. And God will always bless truth. He will bless truth. He will bless His Word that is right. He will bless it. He'll work with it. I mean, it even said that, you know, He worked with and confirmed the Word as the apostles went out and preached. But the bottom line is this. We're going to have to remain true to what we have here in this Word, because being popular, being liked, and being a part of what appears to be a happening church or a happening ministry, that is no guarantee that in the eyes of God, it's right. And that what's happening there is correct. And I know that God is ministering to people. And I'm one of these in here things, you know, the Lord just kind of confirms. I know that He's ministering to some of the first year students too about some stuff. I know He is. And people have some hard decisions to make. It's not easy. It's not easy to take a stand for truth. But if you don't, you're going to be judged according to that. And it's like in the Bible, we learn that we're going to be held accountable. Once we're exposed to truth, once things are revealed to us, you know, we're held accountable for that. And I would rather, you know, be the lone wolf and know that it lines up with the Word than to be on the bandwagon with everybody else, having the parties, being a part of the big crowds and all this kind of stuff. They have to stand before God and answer for it. One person, about this whole thing about the prosperity, one individual already made the statement, I can't preach that to my church. We'd go broke, even though it's right. He said, I can't preach that, even though it's right. I can't preach it. We'd go broke. Man, who are you trusting? Anyway, praise God. See, there have been times where the Lord has had me share things with you about this whole issue of, you know, you being fully obedient to Him. And I know that for some of you that maybe that's, you've wondered why. You know, why does He keep saying things like that? Because, folks, what's coming now, what has begun in the body of Christ, if you are not established in truth, you better watch out, because you may be taken out by wrong doctrine. This is only the beginning. It's going to get worse. But right now, it's going to get better because you get to take a break. Hallelujah. Works for everybody across the board, no matter who you are. God's grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is powerful. And now, Father, we ask that you help us in any area of our lives where we still believe in any kind of works to get results as opposed to tapping into your grace. Help us to understand, Father, that your grace is power and that it can produce everything that we need in our lives, no matter what it is. Help us to break free, Father, from religious traditions and all this other stuff that might serve to hinder us and hold us back so that we can walk in the fullness of who we are and who you want us to be. So, Father, this morning your word's gone forth, and again we call it sown into our hearts, and it will bear the fruit of everything you want it to produce. We praise you for it and give Jesus the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God.